I just wanted to bring to our attention something that I heard on the TV yesterday as we were listening and mourning with the families and everybody about the shootings in El Paso. I heard one of the government officials, and I'm not sure which one he was.
He was governor of Texas.
Yeah, he was from Texas. I think he was in the governor's office. I'm not sure. He was the heavyset guy sitting to the left, as you're looking at the governor. And he said, parents, parent your children. He said, I'm not blaming the parents of this young man that committed these murders, of course. That wouldn't be appropriate and right. But parents, you're not a friend to your child. You're the parent of your child. Jen, you've got active young ones going on. You agree. You have to parent them. You have to teach them, and you have to know what they're doing. It's harder these days because of the internet, I think. But it's so true. I just wanted to say I appreciated the way that it was presented and that there is a responsibility of the churches to teach, parents to teach, and to know where our kids are and what they're doing. And we're so thankful for all of these beautiful kids here this morning. The Lord bless you.
Becky is blessed today. 5 grandkids here. Becky, why don't you introduce your grandkids?
This is Megan Broughton, my son Joshua's daughter, her sister Kate, and this is Tyler, Matthew, and Jordan is somewhere. And this is Jennifer's children. And that's my daughter, Jennifer.
We're glad to have you guys here today. Appreciate you being here. And I just pray that you guys have a good family time. Last week we were able to visit with a couple of our granddaughters that we don't see much, and it's always so nice to see family. Pray blessing upon you. Got my last pack on my back of Blenna, and next Wednesday, I have a bone marrow test. Please pray for that, because that determines what goes next. And I'm hoping for remission, so I'm hoping for healing. But appreciate your prayers. I really do, every one of them. Sorry that we lost Brother Giles, especially couple of months ago. Brother Giles and Sister Linnell were such a blessing to our church. Such a blessing. And I remember Sister Linnell leading the donkey when we had the carnival day, and kids riding on the back, and she did that a long, long time. But they were both great characters and personalities, and just a very, very fun people. We didn't meet them until they were a little older, but my goodness, they just brightened up wherever they were. And so we want to pray for their Brother Giles' family. If you'd turn with me today to the Song of Solomon. Now, last week I kind of thought I might be dealing with the day of Pentecost. We may do that next week, but since I'm not doing it this week, I don't want to say a whole lot. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verses 10 through 16. Now, this is a romantic view of the shepherd king who is Jesus Christ, and spoken of by the church, by the Shulamite. And she's giving to the daughters of Jerusalem a view. Now, I've got pictures behind me. That's my illustration this morning. Mom and Dad are back there, and some of the kids from our youth group upstairs from the 70s. So those kids look young there, but they're all hitting 55. So they're not so young anymore. But take a look at those, my grandkids. It's just something about photos. Just something about, I go into houses where I work and I'm looking on the walls and seeing all the, I just love to see people. Yeah, I don't even know them, but I like to see the fact that they've got photos, that they care about their family and they want to, you know, they want memories. I want us to have a memory of Jesus Christ. I want us every day to have a snapshot in our mind of who we serve and who we love. Heard a couple of big-time guys, Jimmy Swaggart and Lauren Larson, talking about when they received the Holy Ghost, they just loved Jesus so much more. I thought, great, that's a reason to receive the baptism, is to love Jesus. Scripture says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. The commentary translates white as dark red. When I'm in the hospital, they give me a medication. Don't know what it is, Debbie knows, and it makes me red. They call the red man syndrome. And it goes away, no more red man syndrome. But her beloved is white and ruddy with a reddish tone, I guess. His head is the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as bed of spices and sweet as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dripping with sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold, rings set in with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marbles set upon sockets of fine gold, and his countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. That's the one that I like the best. Looking out at a forest, man, this guy must be something super. Look, he looks like a strong forest. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We're going to see throughout the scripture descriptions of who you are and what you've done for us. And I pray today, Lord, that we just fall in love with you more and more every day. That our heart is drawn to you to worship, to absolutely exalt you. As the song we sang and all the songs that we sang, but how great thou art. We want, Lord, to have this within our heart all the time. Thy praise shall continually be in my mouth. We want to exalt you all the time. We pray your blessing upon this word. In Jesus' name, amen. This part of Song of Solomon was written in 1014 B.C. That's about 3,000 years ago. Let's bring it up a few years, about 300. 742 in the book of Isaiah. Jesus promised in the book of Isaiah Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We read this around Christmas quite a bit. And it's an exciting time around Christmas to know that you can go back 700 years and be dead on with the prophecy that's fulfilled at the time of Christ's birth. That he's born of a virgin, his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Just a couple chapters down, and in 771, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born." It's amazing to me that Jesus was born. Why he didn't just come as a full-grown individual, as a full-grown man, as a Lone Ranger, or as Elijah the Tishbite that just seemed to appear. I know Elijah was born and he had, you know, he had a history. He was taken away on a chariot of fire, but Jesus was born like we are. Jesus was born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I believe this is very relevant to when Jesus was born. He's still wonderful. And the Counselor and the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 kind of kicks into the time of after Armageddon, the revelation of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it, to establish it, with the judgment and the justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see Jesus as a child. We see Jesus as a child born, a son given. That's a different picture than we will see in just a bit. And then we go forward to verse 7 and we see Jesus ruling the earth. He's responsible for everything upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice. I despise anything that's not justice. Most of us do. We got something inside that says we want justice. We want fairness. We want no one to be mistreated. We want everything that when someone is hurt, when someone is mistreated in whatever way, that person is punished fairly, but punished. When Jesus rules, there will be no injustice. You say no bullying? No bullying. No picking on anybody. Jesus has a lot of soldiers that can handle the correction. And it will be handled. Perfect justice. Now, 771 to AD 1. Just one little verse, Luke 2:16. "And they," the shepherds, "came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." Isn't he cute? He's adorable. There's not one of the children that's in this building today, not only children, but all, I wasn't that cute of a baby. I was scrawny, 5 pounds, 12 ounces. My brother was 8 pounds. He was the cute one. But Jesus was beautiful. He was a beautiful baby. Some of the pictures that I have here of my grandkids, young but no babies, I almost brought Jacob. Jacob was really a cute kid. So are all the others. All the babies, delightful. Just want to hold them and draw them close. Jesus was a beautiful baby, 81. And that was part of what he did to give us salvation. AD 12, Jesus at 12 years old, Luke 2:49. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Now, we've got to be careful. Jesus is not a wise guy at 12 years old. He was very, very respectful to his parents, but he was also respectful to his heavenly Father. He said, wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? Now, Jesus was, as he was growing up, a handsome young man, 12 years old. If we had an Instamatic or a Polaroid back then, we would see that, but we don't. We have people who have done portraits of Christ, and some of them are good and some of them aren't worth much. I've seen these actors that portray Jesus. Some of them are downright sad. Why would they do that to Jesus? Put an ugly actor up there to portray him. I don't get it. Jesus was beautiful. The song says, lovely Galilean, thou hast conquered me. That's who Jesus is. AD 29 and 30, Jesus starting his ministry, about 30 years old, John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him, and behold the Lamb, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is a strong young man beginning his ministry, just starting to preach, just starting to heal, just starting to deliver people, just starting to feed 5,000 with nothing, 5 loaves and 2 fish, just starting to calm the water, just starting to smooth the storm, just starting to minister, to clean out the temple. Another picture of our Savior. Go just 3 years, 3 years. Jesus crucified. John 19 and 30, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, the vinegar was somewhat of a deadening thing, but more of a moisture, so Jesus could get out these last words. He received the vinegar and he said, it's finished. It is finished. Jesus had suffered the cross, the beating, the torture, the crown of thorns, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. No power of hell, no power of the devil could have taken Jesus' life. Jesus gave it up. Jesus gave his life because of our imperfections and our sins. Because we had no way of purifying our own hearts. So he died for us, that today we can call on him and we can be pure. Our hearts can be pure. Our lives can be clean. And we can look to the Lord for the rapture or however we go. If we die a natural death or whatever happens, we can look to the Lord for victory throughout eternity. Just a few days, about 40, so Jesus ascended, Acts 1 and 10. Wouldn't you like to have a picture of that? Just before he clears the clouds. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in them in white apparel. Jesus went up. The ones that stood by him said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go up into heaven will come again." Now I want to share out of Revelation, Jesus glorified. This is Genesis, Revelations 1, verses 10 through 18. This was written in AD 96. It's current today. In other words, this is a picture of what Jesus looks like right now. When he raptures the church, this is the description of Christ. Starting with verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10. "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now the commentary says that's Sunday, and being in the Spirit was to worship the Lord. To worship the Lord. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." John was on the Isle of Patmos because he served God. The tradition is they tried to kill him several ways, even boiled him in oil, and he wouldn't cook. And then they put him out on the Isle of Patmos, and he got the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." And these seven churches represent the church age from the beginning on the day of Pentecost all the way until the time of either the rapture of the church or the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is 7 years after the rapture. The seven churches of Asia: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." That's the churches of Asia. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garments down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He had a garment that was a robe, a priestly robe that reached to the floor. He had a sash across his chest that represented authority and kingship." When I was in the Boy Scouts, I had a sash that had my puny merit badges on them. I didn't get very many. I didn't work hard enough. Didn't make Eagle. If you're in the Boy Scouts, work harder and make Eagle is cool. His head and his hairs were as white as wool, as white as snow, representing the authority and the wisdom. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, representing the judgment that he has. He sees it all. He sees everything. We can't hide from the Lord. His feet were like fine brass as they burned in a furnace, representing humanity. His voice, the sound of many waters, pure, clear, like the trumpet or the waters, loud. We're not able to miss his voice. And he had in his right hand seven stars, which, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as a sun that shineth in the strength. The stars are the ministers of the seven churches. And what comes out of his mouth is the word of God. Sharp two-edged sword. Countenance as a sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I want you to know that just about 30 years or so before, the same John was leaning on Jesus, the same Jesus, as a support. John and Jesus were cousins, but John had never seen Jesus this way before. And Jesus said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." We serve a Christ that is so powerful today. He holds life in his hand. All the things that Jesus did on the earth, he can do through us today. There is no limit to our God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. I'm going to read one more section out of the Revelation 19, very similar to what we just read. And I'll read it very slow so you'll get it. So this is 7 years later. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was faithful, was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. At this time, after the battle of Armageddon, Armageddon is a horrible battle. Over half the people are going to be judged and destroyed. Horrible battle. You know, kids play games today where they blow somebody up. I don't play those games because I'm not particularly interested. Nor, I'm Pong, baby. Pong is the way. How many remember Pong? I was good at Pong, and maybe a little Pac-Man after that, I'm out. But there's a lot of destructive games because they have, my grandson Jake said, "I got this gun, I got that gun." I said, "Well, good. Good for you. You've got another gun and to bring destruction." But Armageddon is going to make all of that seem so small. It's going to make all the wars that we've ever had seem so small. But Jesus is going to take charge. And he's going to make war with the Antichrist, with the devil. and with all those who oppose Israel. His eyes were as a flame of fire, very similar to before, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. If you're going to battle, you want an army uniform. We're not going to have an army uniform. We're going to be clothed in white linen, white and clean. So what does that mean? We're not going to get our hands dirty. You know, like the scripture that we read a little while back about the singers going out in front of the battle. We're going to be the support and we're going to be the worship, but we're not going to fight. Jesus is going to take care of all of it. He's going to fight the whole battle. We talk about superheroes. Jesus. The armies stay clean and Jesus fights. And out of his mouth go a sharp sword. With it he'd smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. You say, well, I've heard someone say the other day, well, you know, why does God get angry? Because of sin. Because God offered his son on the cross and people didn't accept the gift. And because of sin, God is going to bring judgment. The last verse says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is Jesus. A few weeks ago, we read out of Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus. All the different snapshots, all the different views of Christ. He's done everything he needs to do to save the whole world, to heal the whole world, to do miracles for everybody. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My song this week is Open Our Eyes. I love this song. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Every day I pray that we fall in love with the Lord as a church. Every day, more and more and more. Things in this world and cares of life kind of distract us sometimes. I had to do a little repenting this week because during my cancer treatment, it's been very hard to break through into the praise that I want to offer to the Lord. We owe our praise to him. I heard a song this week that every praise belongs to Jesus. And I believe that. Let's pray today. Lord, we thank you for your church. Lord, we thank you for the things that are going on. We thank you for fellowship. We thank you for family reunions. We pray blessing upon each and every family, each and every one of us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we love you and we love our families, as we serve you, we rejoice with fellowship with one another and with our family. I pray, God, your blessing today upon each one that is here. Your strength, your power, Lord, that you bind up every wound and that you bring healing to every heart, that you minister to every sickness and every disease. We give it up to you, Lord. We give it up to you. Casting all of our care upon you because you care for us. Bringing all of our needs before you without worry or doubt. We pray in Jesus' name, your strength. Break through, Lord, and minister to your people. Pray for anyone that's sick this morning. We're going to pray for Sister Watson. Let's pray as a church. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Sister Watson today. Give her strength. Bring healing to her body. Bring strength, O God, and bring healing, O Lord. You're mighty, and you can do all things. Thank you for coming to this earth and living a perfect life so you could touch us today. And we can reach out and touch you. And your spirit can be mightily poured out upon us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Arton, you need a touch. Let's pray for Brother Arton. Lord God, I pray that you'll minister your touch to Brother Arton right now. Bring strength to his body. Bring healing, O God. He needs a miracle of your mercy. And I pray right now, Lord, that you'll just rain down upon him your strength and your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. We honor you. We honor you. Anyone else that needs a touch, any touch, Sister Frieda, Lord, we pray that you'll touch Sister Frieda, that you'll minister, Lord, to the need that she has this morning. Bring mercy. Bring mercy, O God. Your healing, your delivering power. We honor you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Anyone else? My grace. I want to pray for Bridget for her migraines. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that you will bring healing. We pray in Jesus' name, and we pray the blood will cover. The Spirit will move and that there'll be healing flowing. Lord Jesus, take away these migraines. Remove them completely. We call on your mercy. We call on your grace. Your amazing grace. Bring healing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Any other need? The Lord can do anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Donnie, would you dismiss us? Remember, next week we have a special group, David's Key, out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3.
Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for the blessings we've had this morning, Lord. We thank you for the blessed worship. We thank you for your anointing over that and over the word this morning. And we just pray that you bless each one here this morning, God. Go with them in strength this week, Lord God. Pray for all those that are traveling and will be traveling, Lord God, over the next week. Pray that you get them all to their destinations or bring them back here safely, Lord God. And we thank you for helping me turn 40. In your name we pray.